If you ask an engineer to build a car today, you know, they don't run into a scrapyard.
Right, definitely not.
They don't just grab a rusted out steering wheel, tape it to a tractor engine and just hope it passes a safety inspection.
Yeah, that would be a disaster.
Exactly. I mean, we expect precision. We expect this synchronized assembly line. Yet here we are in 2026, and building a startup is, well, it's still largely a scrapyard
It
exercise.
really is. Just duct tape and hope.
Which brings us to today's deep dive. We are looking at a stack of sources today for you. We've got a detailed analyst note from March 2026, a 30-page internal product spec document, some UI screenshots, and promotional
Lots of
materials.
data to get through.
Yeah, a ton. And it's all for Let's Group's newly released AI Venture Factory 1.0. It's a system that basically claims it can finally automate the assembly line of human innovation.
Which is a massive claim.
Huge. So our mission today is to explore this central kind of evolving question for you. Can software genuinely mediate and automate the chaotic art of company creation? Or, you know, is human intuition just impossible to code?
I mean, that is the defining question for anyone looking at this space right now.
Absolutely.
And to really understand Let's Group's approach here, we have to look at the specific friction they're targeting. The analyst note we reviewed highlights this massive problem in early stage venture building, which is context switching.
Oh, right. The classic 12-tool shuffle.
Yes, exactly. Currently, founders are building companies through this crazy patchwork of fragmented documents, conflicting advice, disjointed software tools.
Right, like you have your market research sitting in a Google Doc somewhere, and then your financial model is in this incredibly fragile Excel
Oh,
sheet.
the worst. One wrong click and it breaks.
Yeah. And your task list is over in Trello, your branding strategy is just completely buried in some random Slack thread.
Yeah, and every single time you switch between those platforms, you lose context.
And according to the analyst note, that context switching is exactly where startups bleed momentum and, well, eventually die.
Precisely. So Let's Group's solution with Venture Factory 1.0, it isn't to just offer another chatbot wrapper, where you just type a prompt and it spits out a completely generic business plan. They're positioning this as an end-to-end startup operating system.
Okay, let's unpack this because I have to challenge that core premise right away.
Go for it.
When I read startup operating system, my immediate thought is, isn't this just a glorified project management tool, like dressed up in AI buzzwords?
I get why you'd think that.
Because going back to my car analogy, a scrapyard might be chaotic, but you know, it allows for improvisation. Venture Factory sounds like a super rigid assembly line. Like, does software actually know how to build a company?
Well, what's fascinating here is that that is the exact distinction the product spec tries to clarify.
Oh, really? How so?
So, in traditional project management software, the tool is just a passive receptacle, right? It just tracks what you, the human, are doing.
Yeah, like Jira or something.
Right. And in most modern SaaS platforms, AI is just this novelty layer pasted on top. You click a little magic wand icon, and it, I don't know, summarizes your meeting notes.
Yeah, we've all seen that.
But Venture Factory's architecture is fundamentally different because AI is the operating substrate of the work itself.
The substrate.
Exactly. The system isn't just tracking your tasks, it's actively generating the strategic materials, the financial analysis, and the market positioning right alongside you.
Wow. And the promotional landing page makes some pretty aggressive claims about the speed of this, too.
You do.
They state that within your first 30 minutes on the platform, you can generate a complete startup snapshot.
30 minutes.
Yeah, that includes defining your core idea, mapping your ideal customer profile, establishing your market category, and drafting a 7-day execution plan.
That's incredibly fast.
And get this, they are pricing this at just £19 a month for their entry-level build plan.
Which, I mean, if the output quality actually holds up to those claims, that represents a massive shift in how new startups are built and launched.
How do you mean?
Well, historically, defining a total addressable market or structuring a go-to-market strategy, that required hiring a 500-pound-an-hour consultant.
Oh, yeah, or giving away early equity to an accelerator just to get that guidance.
Right. But now the software is attempting to act as that strategic consultant and your junior analyst simultaneously.
But okay, if the AI is the substrate, we have to ask how it knows what to build, right?
Oh.
Because an AI model is inherently only as good as the instructions it receives. which kind of brings us to the engine powering this whole platform. Let's Group calls it the Innov at T 3.0 framework.
Yes, the Innov at T 3.0 framework. This is essentially the central nervous system of the software.
Okay.
It's proprietary methodology that is literally hard-coded into the platform's progression mechanics.
And looking at the 30-page product spec, the scope of this framework is just massive. We're talking about 7 distinct stages broken down into 49 highly specific steps. It's extremely granular.
Yeah, and what stands out immediately is how early the process begins. Like, stage one isn't incorporate your business or build a landing page. Stage one is literally titled creativity.
Yeah, that's such a unique approach. Steps point one through point three are entirely focused on the founder's psychology.
Wait, really? Psychology?
Yes. The system prompts you to identify your ideal creative environment, design a sustainable routine, and it even makes you select a yoga of creativity.
A yoga of creativity? What does that even mean?
It's basically an artistic practice to maintain mental plasticity, and you do all of this before you ever even touch a revenue model.
That's wild. It reads almost like executive coaching.
It really does.
But then stage two, which they call HA, idea, that's A-H-H. Wait. By the way, it pivots into ruthless quantitative analysis.
Very sharp pivot.
Yeah, you're tasked with evaluating market demand, calculating TAM, SAM, and SUM, defining competitive barriers to entry. And oh, you also score your own founder DNA.
Right, to see if your actual skills align with the business requirements you just mapped out. Exactly. And this progression just continues through prototyping, market entry, all the way to stage 7, which is exit.
They plan for the exit right from the start.
Yeah, the system actually forces you to evaluate potential buyer targets and structure tax planning.
And the crucial mechanism here is how the AI supports all these steps. The platform utilizes what they call a startup intelligence agent.
Okay, an agent.
Right. But architecturally, it's not just one language model.
Yeah.
The administrators can actually configure different foundational models for different steps.
Oh, so it's not just OpenAI doing everything.
Exactly. For instance, the system might route a really complex, reasoning-heavy financial projection task to OpenAI's O4 Mini.
Makes sense.
But then it might use Anthropic's Claude for drafting a really nuanced brand narrative back in stage 3.
Okay, and the spec sheet emphasizes this concept called compounding outputs. How does that actually work mechanically?
So if you use a standard consumer AI interface, it suffers from amnesia, basically.
Yeah, totally.
The moment you start a new chat window, it forgets the entire context of your business. But Venture Factory is built on venture-aware context.
Venture-aware context. Got it.
Architecturally, this means the system takes the structured data you generate in early steps and actively injects it as constraints for the later steps.
Walk me through that. Give me an example of how that flows.
Okay, let's say in stage two, your market analysis determines that your primary customer base is mid-market logistics firms in Europe.
Okay.
The platform takes that specific output, formats it into a JSON payload, and physically injects it into the system prompt when you eventually reach stage 4's pricing strategy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The AI is now mathematically constrained by your previous decisions. So your pricing model will automatically reflect European mid-market budgets.
That's clever.
And then that exact pricing model seamlessly informs the pitch deck that gets generated in stage 5. The intelligence literally builds on itself.
I mean, I understand the logic, but I have to play devil's advocate here.
Please do.
I've worked with early stage founders, and, you know, their biggest competitive advantage is agility. The whole move fast and break things mentality.
Agility is key.
So if you lock a founder into a linear 49-step progression, aren't you just slapping a corporate straitjacket on a process that intrinsically requires chaotic pivoting?
That's a very fair concern.
Like, what happens if you're on step 36, you talk to a real customer, and you realize your core premise from step 4 is just completely wrong? Does the whole 49-step house of cards just collapse?
And that is the exact friction point the analyst note addresses. The defense Let's Group offers is that this is an intelligent dependency tree, not just a static Word document.
An intelligent dependency tree.
Right. It's a guided production system designed to eliminate blank page paralysis. And this is the key, it recalculates.
Ah, so it adapts.
Because the process is broken down into these really granular substeps. A through F, for many stages, you're executing tiny, manageable pieces of strategy. So if you change a fundamental assumption way late in the game at step 36, the compounding architecture theoretically ripples that change backward and forward.
No way.
Yes. It recalculates the financial models and updates the pitch narratives without requiring you to manually rewrite history across a dozen different files.
Okay, so the system recalculates. Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because that raises an immediate logistical question.
Which is?
Where does all this generated data actually live?
Ah, yes.
If the AI is constantly updating roadmaps and financial models and competitive matrices, and it all just vanishes into some chat interface history, we are right back to the execution chaos we started with.
Exactly. Which brings us to a really core piece of the architecture.
Yeah.
The virtual data room. Or VDR.
Yeah. Looking at the UI screenshots, the VDR acts as this centralized repository.
It holds everything.
Right. It holds all the generated markdown documents, rich text HTML, and any manual files you upload. And you can actually see individual digital cards labeled things like Substep 13 Bot B Investor Deck or Substep 1D Target Customer.
It's incredibly organized.
And it meticulously tracks creator attribution. Like, it shows whether a human or an AI agent made the file and the exact step ID it belongs to.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture of how startups are actually backed and scaled, this VDR is arguably the most commercially critical feature.
Why do you say that?
Think about the due diligence process when a startup tries to raise capital or get acquired.
Oh, man. Yeah, the investor asks to see the historical customer acquisition cost assumptions, and the founder has to spend, like, 3 weeks digging through old emails.
Exactly. And just guessing what they were thinking 2 years ago. Startups constantly lose context because vital decisions live exclusively in the founder's heads.
Or they just get buried in transient messaging apps.
Exactly. But the VDR creates what the analyst note calls institutional memory.
Institutional memory.
When you reach stage 7 and you prepare for an exit, due diligence is vastly accelerated. Because every pivot, every financial assumption, every market analysis is already documented.
It's all just there.
Right. It's time-stamped and organized in a searchable system from day one.
And the product spec details a method of documentation that is highly technical here. There is native integration with the LetScore blockchain.
Yes, the blockchain integration.
It allows founders to sync their venture assets to IPFS, the Interplanetary File System, for immutable storage. But I really have to push back on this.
I figured you might.
I mean, do early stage founders really need a decentralized blockchain ledger before they even have a single paying customer?
That sounds a bit extreme.
It feels like using a military grade laser to cut a birthday cake. Isn't this just tech buzzword bingo?
Look, it is really easy to dismiss it as a buzzword. I agree. But we have to look at the mechanism of intellectual property in an AI driven world.
Okay, how so?
When you were using external AI models to generate novel algorithmic concepts or really unique brand positioning, proving the exact provenance of that idea becomes incredibly complex.
Because you have to prove whether the AI hallucinated it or if you actually directed the creation of that specific IP.
Exactly. The IPFS integration acts like a digital notary public standing right over your shoulder.
I see.
By timestamping the exact moment an idea is formalized and logging it on an immutable ledger, you create an indisputable record.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
In a future patent dispute or, you know, during an aggressive acquisition audit, having mathematical proof that your startup originated a specific strategic decision on a specific date is an incredible layer of legal security.
Wow.
It essentially automates a process that usually requires thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees.
Okay, so we have mapped out the planning phases, and we've documented the IP on an immutable ledger. Mm. But, you know, planning is great until reality hits.
Right. A business actually has to operate.
Exactly. It has to interact with customers. So how does Venture Factory transition from this theoretical planning environment to a day-to-day operational tool?
This is where the product moves from a static builder into a live management system. The internal spec outlines a really comprehensive dashboard that's fed by several native operational modules.
Let me describe this dashboard UI from the screenshots for you, because it's pretty striking. It features a highly centralized interface. At the top, it displays your venture status.
Front and center.
But the core of the screen is dominated by these live vital signs. You see a real-time burn rate. You see your runway calculated in months. You see a live product backlog.
It's a true command center.
And most interestingly, there is this health score widget. In one screenshot, it shows a composite score of 36, flagging the startup as needs work.
Ouch. 36 is rough.
Yeah, and it breaks down the exact operational deficits, showing that the financials module is at 50% health, but the team structure is lagging at 40%.
And that health score isn't static. It actually recalculates based on live data fed from four native modules.
Oh, the native apps.
Right. You have the Finance OS, which tracks your monthly recurring revenue and customer lifetime value. You have the Growth Engine, which monitors a full five-stage funnel from initial impressions way down to paid conversions.
You also have the Product Builder operating as an integrated Kanban board where customer feedback can directly spawn engineering tasks.
Yep.
And finally, the Legal and IP Shield, which manages your cap tables, employee equity, and all that regulatory compliance stuff.
Having those native apps is absolutely vital for preventing the context switching we discussed earlier.
Right.
But the most disruptive element of the entire 1.0 release isn't actually what Let's Group built natively.
Really? What is it?
It's how the platform interfaces with external tools through the Agent Store and the MCP server.
Yes, the Agent Store. It's incredibly expansive in the spec. It lists over 100 external AI tools categorized across 14 different operational needs.
It's a massive ecosystem.
We are talking about integrations with ChatGPT, Claude, design tools like Canva and Midjourney, and even AI software engineering tools like Cursor.
And the bridge that connects all of these external tools is the MCP server, the Model Context Protocol. This protocol ensures Venture Factory isn't just a closed walled garden.
Let's break down what the MCP server actually does, though, because this is where the technical implications get very heavy. What does that protocol mean for a user who's just trying to build a product?
Okay, mechanically, the MCP server allows external AI agents to securely read from and write to your venture's internal data.
Okay, give me an example.
Let's say you're using an external AI coding assistant on your local machine to build your software product.
Like Cursor.
Exactly. Oh. Through the MCP server, that external coding assistant can query your Venture Factory product builder, see what feature is next in the backlog, and then securely read the target customer profile from the virtual data room to understand the user constraints.
Oh, wow.
And then it can literally write the code based on that deep context.
But wait, if the MCP server allows an external AI tool to read my virtual data room, how does Venture Factory prevent massive data leakage?
Security is always the big question.
Because if I'm letting third-party language models sift through my proprietary algorithms, my cap table, my financial projections, isn't that a catastrophic security flaw for a startup?
That is a critical vulnerability for any open API system, absolutely. Mm. But the product spec addresses this by detailing a strict permissions architecture within the MCP.
How strict?
The founder dictates exactly which external agent has read or write access to specific substeps. So a Cody agent might have access to stage 6 product specs.
Well, right? That sense.
But it is cryptographically firewalled from reading your stage 7 exit strategy or your stage 2 founder DNA scores.
Which leads us to the most provocative feature buried in the UI screenshots.
The self-driving mode.
Yes. There is a literal toggle switch that allows for automated step execution without manual intervention.
It's pretty wild.
The spec claims the system can identify a bottleneck and just deploy an agent to fix it. If external AI agents can read and write venture data and the platform can execute steps autonomously, I mean, are human founders even going to be necessary in the future?
This raises an important question, maybe the ultimate philosophical question of the Let's Group ecosystem.
Which is?
The fundamental unit of a startup is shifting. Historically, a startup was defined as a group of humans sitting in a room with laptops. Right.
Sweating over a whiteboard.
Exactly. But moving forward, a startup is a hybrid entity. It's human founders, internal human employees, and a swarm of external AI agents all collaborating within the same operating system.
So the human doesn't become obsolete, they just become like an editor.
Exactly. The human role elevates from low-level execution to high-level judgment. The software and the external agents dramatically raise the baseline quality and the velocity of the output.
Right.
But the human provides the paste, the strategic pivots, and the final authorization. You're no longer scavenging parts in the scrapyard. You're sitting in the control room managing the automated assembly line.
So what does this all mean for you? If you are an aspiring founder who has been, you know, sitting on an incredible idea because you don't know how to structure a five-year financial model.
Or you don't have 50,000 pounds to hire an agency to map out a go-to-market strategy.
Exactly. Venture Factory represents what the analyst note terms the leaner startup effect. It theoretically allows a micro team, maybe just you and a single co-founder, to operate with the analytical rigor, the structural sophistication, and the sheer output volume of a heavily funded 50-person enterprise.
It's leveling the playing field.
You are bypassing the massive capital burn usually wasted on disjointed SaaS subscriptions and consultant fees.
It completely systematizes the mechanics of the startup itself. And, you know, that leaves us with a fascinating implication for the broader business ecosystem, particularly for how new startups will be backed and scaled moving forward.
Right, because if I can just push a button, leverage an AI agent, and instantly generate a flawless, mathematically sound financial projection.
And a beautifully designed 20-page pitch deck.
Exactly.
If venture building software can commoditize the creation of a company to this degree of polish, how will venture capitalists fundamentally change the way they evaluate investments?
That's a great point.
When every single founder walking into a pitch meeting is armed with perfect AI-generated documents, investors will no longer be able to judge a company by its polished materials.
Because everyone will look perfect on paper.
Exactly. They'll be forced to look past the shiny wrapper and evaluate the only thing software can't generate: the raw underlying truth of the founder's grit and the actual unvarnished market demand for the product itself.
The ultimate irony. By perfectly automating the business plan, the technology forces us to care only about the human reality behind it. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the mechanics of Venture Factory 1.0 and the future of company creation. Keep questioning the systems you build with, and we'll see you next time.